morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. We start the class out with a confession. It really matters if you're willing to say something along this line. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He works with what we say. That's how you got born again. You believed in your heart. You confess with your mouth. With the heart man believes. With the confession, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That doesn't just work for being born again. It works for all manner of things. And so that's why, you know, if you've watched this and you say, well, I'm not used to that. Say this, say that, say the other. It's always been that way where God is concerned. That's how He has created everything, with His words. And so the church in some places has lost that, but it's not a new thing. It's from before the earth was thing. And so the Lord tells us, He says, be imitators of God as dear children. So start saying things, not just how you feel, but using words to affect change in your life. Don't just say what you feel, say what you want.
Amen. That's right.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Say what you want changed. James talks about this, that just like the bridle or bit in the horse's mouth can help steer the horse, the rudder on a ship, even though it's very small compared to the whole ship, and you know, in a big ship, if you turn the rudder, well, it doesn't just flip around on a dime, but it starts changing course. Is that right?
Yes.
Immediately starts changing course, and if you keep that rudder in that position, it will turn completely around. Well, the Bible says that's what your tongue can do. You can completely turn your life around.
Amen.
If you start saying something differently and believe it and be consistent in it.
Yes.
So quit saying I can't.
That's right. That's right.
Quit saying no way, there's no way. It's too late. It's all over. Quit saying it's impossible.
Amen.
Quit saying. Start agreeing with God.
Yes.
That's another definition in confession, is saying the same thing that He has said.
Yes.
He didn't say you can't.
That's right.
He said you can.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He didn't say it's impossible. He said it's possible.
Yes. Yes.
To those that believe. So say it out loud. Father, I believe.
Father, I believe.
And I can.
And I can.
And I will.
And I will.
I am able.
I am yours.
I have it.
I have it.
I'll do it.
I'll be it.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, whatever it is that you need to be and say and do, put it in your mouth first, and you'll get the steering wheel headed that way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We've been on a series now for weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've gone reason after another through going through 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Beginning number one was Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, that same word's translated lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And so we spent time on that. If you weren't with us, go to faithschool.org and you can get the first one and all the ones in between then and now. And we're building one on another. And faith comes by hearing. And the truth, if you'll let it come into you and receive it and convince you and persuade you, it will completely rid you of doubt, of ambiguity, of wondering and wavering, and you get to the place where you can boldly declare,
yes,
this is what God has said. This is what is happening in my life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Faith can declare ahead of time.
Yes.
what's going to happen based on what God said.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because you can count on Him to do what He said. Look in Mark, the 16th chapter again. We're in our study. We're down to reason number 26, I believe it is. And that is fulfilling the Great Commission. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world. You go into all the world and preach." Not just anything, but the gospel to every created being. And he that believes the gospel and is baptized, in other words, believes, calls on the name of the Lord, acts on it to identify with Christ in baptism. Faith without inaction is dead. You don't just, you know, silently say, "Well, yeah, in my mind I believe I am," and you're a closet Christian. Mm-hmm. No, that's not going to work. And the Lord even said, if you're ashamed of me in front of men, I'll be ashamed of you in front of the angels and the Father. Nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be able to, that's what boldness means. Boldness is not being pushy. Boldness is being sure.
Yes.
Sure, confident. And so you don't have to try to push something off on somebody that doesn't want to hear it. But at the same time, if somebody says, "Are you one of them, you know, loud hallelujah, praising God,
amen,
going to church?"
Yes.
You go, "Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Ringleader."
That's right.
Yes, sir. Do not be timid about it. Do not be apologetic. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
You're not bragging, but you're not hiding.
Yes. Hmm?
I am. Jesus hung on the cross to save you in front of everybody.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
So you can definitely acknowledge Him.
Yes.
In front of a couple of people.
Yes.
Hmm? So go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not shall be damned or condemned. In the 10th chapter of Romans, we saw this, that he said how it would happen. Romans 10 and 13 says, "Whoever would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's open to everyone, anyone, anywhere. Makes no difference. Your background, your people, your culture, history. If you're willing to do this, you can receive full salvation in Christ. And he said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How, though, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, you'll notice he keeps saying, how, 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 how. He repeats it multiple times. So even though there's something is the will of God, there has to be a way to do it. Can you see this?
Yes.
So then he says, if you're going to call on the Lord, how are you going to do that unless and until you have believed? You can't, you won't. So the how does the new birth actually happen? Well, you call on the Lord. Yeah, but how do you get to the place where you can do that? You have to believe something, right? The how to get to the miracle of the new birth is the believing. You can't get there without the believing. And how shall they believe? Did you notice the word how again? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? What's the answer?
The answer.
You can't get from here to there without the how.
That's right.
Huh? The how to be saved is the calling on the name of the Lord, the believing. The how to get to believing is hearing. How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And what's the next thing? And how? How shall they hear without a preacher? What's the answer? You can't have the hearing without the preaching. The preaching is how you heard. All you got to do is, if you've been born again, all you got to do is think, is how'd you get born again?
Yeah.
Right? How? I know how I did.
Uh-huh.
I was with my family on a Sunday morning in a small little Baptist church in the deep south, and my dad and mom hadn't been serving the Lord, and when the altar call was given, my dad got up and went to the altar because we heard the preacher.
Yes.
We heard somebody preach and say that Jesus had done all the work for our salvation and that we needed to receive him.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to confess him as Lord. And I figured, well, if my dad needs it, I need it too.
Amen.
And as a young boy, I got up and followed down to the altar. But I heard some preaching.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And I believed it.
Yes.
And I reached out.
Yes.
And I called on the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm still saved.
Yes.
It worked.
Yes.
Somebody say, how? Can you see what the Spirit of God's doing here? How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Is it the same answer? They can't.
Yes.
They won't. There's got to be a sending. And like what we've mentioned before, this sending is both spiritual and natural. You've got to be sent spiritually, but you also have to be sent naturally. You have to be anointed and empowered to go and do and say and preach, minister. You've got to be enabled to go and do. Like we mentioned in previous class, the enemy is the thief. Well, what's a thief always trying to do? Steal something. Take something they have no right to take. Take something that's valuable to you, to rob you. Stealing, killing, destroying. Well, all you'd have to do is just think for a little bit, unobstructed, who wants you broke? So that you can't go anywhere and preach the gospel. Who wants you so sick? You can't even go to church. Much less go and help anybody with the things of God. Is that God?
No.
That wants you broke and you can't, wants the churches so broke that they are despised? No. Wants the church, in our office have talked with numerous people over the years of churches that their plumbing is destroyed and flooding the basement and the roof was gone 15 years ago, and it rains inside the sanctuary when it rains, and everything's mildewed and rusted, and people, places wind up being condemned, and a lot of times people despise places, and they don't want to help, and they don't want to be involved, and they don't want to go there because it stinks,
yeah.
It smells, or this or that. And does God want a smelly, stinky, musty, moldy, rusty, drip, drip, flooded? Huh? Why would he want that? Does that, people say, well, it shows our humility. Is that really reaching the millions? People thinking about how humble you are. No. No. And it could not be true anyway. Living in poor circumstances does not equal godly humility at all. They're not the same thing by any stretch. But no, I mean, if all you have is what you have, you use what you have. You do the best you can, but God's a big God, and he can lift you up, and he can bring you out of the need and into better and better and the best. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
Huh? I know when we first got on some TV broadcast, some friends of ours were watching the broadcast, and the wife turned to the husband and said, why is Keith so fuzzy? Talking about the picture. Well, our first camera equipment was older and it was low definition. And so he told her that's what it was. But it wasn't too long, though, after that, she said, well, look, Keith's no longer fuzzy. You know, God delivered us from fuzziness. Got us some good high definition cameras. Well, what's the solution from fuzzy to no longer fuzzy? Money.
That's right.
Is that right? Some money to buy some non-fuzzy cameras.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
The difference in the lighting, the difference in the high-speed connections and the servers and all these kind of things. Money, it requires money. But you know, money doesn't bother God. There's no amount that he goes, whoo, that's a lot. There is no amount that is big to God. He creates stars and planets and systems. So he wants us to have the best. Part of what has to happen, our mind has to get renewed so that we are not in awe of money.
That's right.
And we need to get delivered from covetousness so that we don't care too much about money. That we're willing to spend it.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
On the gospel. We're willing to spend it on the church, on the mission outreach, the evangelistic campaign, whatever it may be. We're willing. There's no amount that's too big and we go, that's just too much for the gospel. There's no such thing. You actually can't overspend on the gospel by reason of the relative value of money, how little value it is compared to eternal truth and eternal souls and salvation. They don't compare. So if you spent 1,000 times what it normally costs, if it accomplished reaching somebody with the gospel, it was easy, cheap. It was, right? You can't spend too much. If it accomplishes the will of God. Now, if it didn't accomplish the will of God, the whole thing was wasted. No matter how, frugal you were. But in Romans 10, we see, how can you do it? You can't do it unless you are sent. Everybody say sent. As it is written, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Why the feet? The feet is what brought the preacher there.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, then whatever brought the feet there was good. Right? Whatever helped get the preacher there and the message there, the gospel there is beautiful. And the most important thing happening on the planet today. Go to the book of Acts, please. Well, I'll tell you what, you were there in Romans. On your way back, just stop at chapter 1, because this deals with this as well. 1 and 9, Romans 1 and 9 says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now this, even in our day of internet and broadcast and streaming and downloads and all these things, there are still things you need to be in the room for.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
And if you think, well, no, I think I can. No. The Lord says, the Scripture says, yes, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some do. And notice he's talking about coming to see them in order to impart some spiritual gift and for their faith to be for them to be comforted in it and their faith to enlarge and increase, like we confess before every class. We're doing this, obviously, reaching, you know, across the airwaves and internet and streaming and all that kind of thing. But I also still, I'm speaking somewhere in person in the church on a regular basis. And then I travel to other places because you can't, for instance, you can't lay hands on people via the internet. Huh? Some things require that in person, in contact, and when we are together in one place, in one mind, in one accord, there's some things don't happen until that happens. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you can't receive, obviously. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't think you could receive all kind of things through this tool. But what I'm saying, you need to go to church.
Right?
You need to be a part of a good church that preaches not just theory and opinion and politics, but the Bible.
Amen.
And you can't serve remotely. Right? You got to show up.
Right?
They could use you on a team in the church. Maybe it's a clean team. Maybe it's parking lot. Maybe it's children's. Maybe it's hospitality. I mean, there's so many things that need to be done. And people say, well, they already have people. They need more, I assure you. We pastor churches and you always need more. Especially, you should have enough that people could rotate and get a break. And more people get training and more people get benefit. And after this is all said and done, more people get reward. So he's talking about in order for these things to happen, these spiritual, these gift impartations, this faith enhancement, before that can happen, there's got to be a prosperous journey to get there, right? Which is why the first word in the main directive to the church,
go.
And so he said, I'm making request if by any means I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. So prosperous journey is necessary, and a prosperous journey is the will of God. Somebody say prosperous journey. In Acts 15, we were headed that way. Acts 15, he makes this statement. And you'll see, have you ever read the Acts?
Yes.
If you haven't, you'll see quite a bit of travel in there. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Travel, going here, going there, going here, going there. Traveling. And should we look to God to help us with our travel?
Yes.
Be involved with our travel?
Yes.
Protection for our travel?
Yes.
What about provision for it?
Yes.
Why shouldn't that also be part of our prayer and our faith?
Yes.
Believing for provision, because provision, you know, the cheapest way is not always the safest way.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
You know, people may show up in a sketchy looking vehicle and say, we'll do it for half price. But will you actually get there?
Yeah.
And if you've done much traveling outside the U.S. or you know, or any place that's strange to you or you don't know, maybe you just didn't understand the language and they took you to the wrong state, you know, our country. But Acts 15, are you there?
Yes.
You definitely want God involved in your going, in your traveling. In Acts 15 and 1 is talking about some issues they were dealing with in the church. In verse 2, they got it settled that they were to go. Everybody say go. Go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So this is not something that you wanted to do remote anyway. Some things you need to be face to face. You need to see people's reaction and be there. And verse 3, being brought on their way by the church. Now you want to understand this phrase. I think a lot of people read this and they don't understand what it means. What does it mean the church brought you on your way?
Money.
Does it mean they just patted on your back and said, hey, you need to get going? Huh? The church says, go. Take off? No. Brought on their way by the church. Then they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, caused great joy among the brethren. So it wasn't just the destination that's going to get good results. They got good results between there, right? At multiple places, they're seeing good things happen. Why? Because God is in their trip. And they're having a successful, prosperous journey. Does that sound good to anybody?
Yes.
Listen to the Amplified, how it reads Acts 15:3. They were brought on their way by the church. The Amplified says, so being fitted out and sent on their way. Fitted out. Did you know the local church is supposed to be the outfitter? That went over big, didn't it? The fitted out and sent on their way. Does that sound like some provision involved?
Yes.
Listen to the Weiss translation. This is again Acts 15:3. They therefore, having been furnished with the requisites for the journey by the assembly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The assembly, instead of saying church, it said the assembly. They did what? They furnished them with the requisites. What does that mean? Everything they needed for the journey. In other words, the church underwrote the trip. Right? They gave them everything they needed to do the whole trip and journey. They were involved in sending. Come on, you see that? Sending them. And that is the plan of God. And I'm out of time again. You got to come back tomorrow and let's finish up talking about this. We'll see you soon in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.